So let me first of all say thank you to the organizers for inviting me. I think you'll hear a lot of common themes across this whole last section of talks in what I have to say. And first, let me just give you an introduction to the Climate Corporation. About a year ago, a little more than a year ago, Monsanto acquired the Climate Corporation, which was a Silicon Valley-based information company working in agriculture. And since then, over the last several months, we've integrated some pieces that existed in Monsanto or that had been acquired by Monsanto earlier, and one acquisition that's taken place since. So let me just walk through this a little bit. On the top, you'll see the trademarks for a couple of the climate products that I'll talk about in some more detail as we go along. Monsanto brought into this our Field Scripts program, what some of you may remember also being called Integrated Farming Systems. That included the precision planting business, the equipment company that we had acquired to help enable our Field Scripts business. Down at the bottom, you'll see MP Federal Crop Insurance, because climate had been and remains in the insurance business. In fact, that was their entry point into agriculture. And finally, in the middle, Solem, a soil testing lab that is based in Ames, Iowa, that was started several years ago and has some improved technologies for soil measurements, was acquired by Climate after the Monsanto acquisition of Climate. So we brought all of these pieces together into an integrated organization now that has main offerings across this platform, and people based in Tremont, Illinois for precision planting, out in San Francisco for kind of the core of Climate, especially the data sciences and engineering, and a significant contingent like me in St. Louis from Monsanto. So I was with Monsanto for about 30 years working in ag biotech and genomics, and then moved into Climate about at the time of this integration of organizations. So let me talk a little bit about what we see. I think none of this is news, but some of it is really striking, I think. You know, what's the reason we all here can now talk about precision agriculture as much more of a reality than we could before? And it really has to do with this huge advancement in our ability to acquire and then process data, and especially the processing and analysis of data, which really depends on a lot of the metrics shown here in terms of the power of processors, the cost, or relatively low cost now, of both generating data and storing data, and the ability to collect more data. I think a couple of things here are really telling. The upper right panel that shows more than 100 billion sensors will be installed in the next 4 years. You know, when you think about sensors, just think about how many different types of sensors just exist in this kind of smartphone that we all carry around in our pockets. And of course, those are getting both more powerful and cheaper all the time. And then the bottom right panel, more connected mobile devices than people on Earth, which is really incredible. You know, I think it's true, and certainly in my life it's true. There are more mobile devices that I have than just one for me. And the power of all of this really resides in computing power, which allows us to make sense of data. And that's what's really driving, I think, precision agriculture these days, and making it more than just talking points, but turning it into the reality that we've seen already demonstrated and that I'll show you some more examples of. If you think, though, about what this means, I think that there is, in essence, a value stack in data. Raw data itself doesn't have a lot of value, and it's going to be more and more commoditized. The data will be generated, it already is, that will allow growers to see data, but not necessarily to do anything with it. I think the next level up is some sort of analytics that processes that data, takes advantage of it in various ways, and provides it as sort of analyzed data that allows growers to make decisions. Up the value chain one level, I think, are insights. That is, what can we say, whether it's Climate or any of the others who have spoken today, what insights can we glean? And that comes from more sophisticated data analytics. And then finally, Making recommendations. Whether those recommendations are made hand in hand with agronomists or whether the recommendations are more automated, I think, isn't really the point. It's that we can, in fact, make recommendations and execute on them, which I think is a key as well. The way we think about this whole business from the perspective of climate is that it's really divided into three domains. One is measurements. Measurements means really the generation of data, some of which we will do ourselves, some of which will be provided to us by third parties, and some of which we can take advantage of from the type of machinery that we just heard about from John Deere that will actually provide data directly to growers. And then from our perspective, predictive modeling plays a big role. That is, what do we do with the data? And that gets to that level of insights and even recommendations. And then finally, execution. And by execution, we mean both software tools as well as equipment that allows growers to take advantage of those recommendations. So let me start with measurements. This is just a high-level view of the types of measurements that we are already engaged in or expect to be engaged in. Everything from weather, which we've heard a lot about already, to the soil, especially taking advantage of our soil testing platform at Solem. In the field, that can be everything from as planted to harvested data to actual field-level measurements. Going forward, and I think as we get more and more sophisticated types of equipment, we'll see more and more of in-field data. And then, of course, there's the opportunities for new types of machinery, such as unmanned vehicles like drones, that can take measurements as well. In the future, I think these are the types of things we'll see. Certainly, in the imagery space, I think we'll see we're already seeing, and we'll continue to see sort of a revolution there, both from drones and a lot of work going on with microsatellites that'll give us more frequent images, higher resolution images, and then a variety of types of spectral analysis that'll be necessary in order to process that data and really give it meaning. Let me go on to the second piece that I talked about, which are predictive models. And this is really where the pre-existing, if you will, Climate Corporation made its stake, first in the insurance end and then in developing a variety of grower support tools. And it's really all based on data science. And if you think about data science, what we really mean there is it really is a combination of statistics, tools like machine learning, coupled with domain science. We need experts in the domains, like agronomy, for example, and then sophisticated tools in software engineering that allows models to be developed and not just developed for researcher use, but actually be developed and capable of being deployed as part of products, because in many ways we are a software company. So data science really is the science that allows us to take advantage of these, what people call big data, these big data sets, and develop models, especially predictive models. And those predictive models can really be of sort of two types. One is deterministic models, where we know something, maybe everything, or close to everything we need to, about some type of process. For example, how water moves through the soil, things that we can actually measure where there's a pre-existing base of knowledge about how a physical process or even a biological process takes place, and we can simply turn that into equations that allow us to take advantage of all the data that we have available to us. But very, very often in data science, what we need really are statistical or probabilistic models because, in fact, we don't understand the underlying processes. And what we need to do is simply let the data tell us what the underlying process might be and make predictions based on that underlying process. And the key here is, at least from the data science perspective, although it doesn't have to show up this way at the user interface for the individual grower, the key is to have predictive models that actually make a prediction, because if you have a predictive model, then you can challenge that model with other data sets and improve the model over time. So an example or two here, just to ground you in what we're doing at Climate. We have a significant group in agronomic modeling. That's everything from yield modeling to other agronomic inputs, like a nitrogen model that's based on agronomic modeling. And a significant effort in both climatology and geospatial. Geospatial really being applied primarily to the processing of imagery, and climatology really for weather predictions. And many, many of the products that we have today, the software tools we've developed, and what we expect to do in the future are really going to be combinations of multiple models. There are very few instances, I think, where simply a model of some physical or biological process is likely to be the be-all and end-all of what we want. Instead, if you think about our nitrogen model, for example, this is just an example. I think the scientists at Climate just like to show this kind of thing to show how complex the world is. But what we can actually try to model is an attempt to really understand the fate of nitrogen as applied to the soil throughout the growing season. And of course, that's dependent on weather. So having high quality weather data and making weather predictions is important. Everything from temperature to precipitation, and of course, at the end of the day, using this model in order to make recommendations to growers depends not only on what happens to nitrogen in the soil, but crop uptake of nitrogen. So a yield model and a crop model are very important features of the actual products that we develop. So that's an example of where all of these models have to come together and work kind of harmoniously. And at the end of the day, if you look at this, this is like daunting for anybody to even look at, let alone understand. What we want to do and what we have done is provide user interfaces like this. This is an example of the Nitrogen Advisor tool, which was a software tool in what we called Climate Pro, and I'll get to the definitions there in just a minute, which then models the amount of available nitrogen during the growing season, and based on those models, plus both near-term and longer-term weather predictions, allows us to make recommendations to growers as to how much nitrogen, in this case sidegrass nitrogen, to apply, and allows the grower to do, over on the right-hand side, although we haven't plugged any numbers in, to do kind of what-if analysis. That is, a recommendation of 50 pounds of nitrogen per acre with a certain expected return based on predicted yields at the end of the season and commodity prices. What if I thought 40 pounds was better? What might the economics look like? And growers can plug in and do their own analysis in that way. And then finally, the execution piece. And as I said, the execution piece for us is really centered on two things. One is equipment, some of which will be our precision planting equipment, and then the other are these decision support tools. I won't talk much about precision planting, except that it has a long history now of really high-tech implementation on the planter, as well as nice software interfaces like the Field View app that's shown up there at the top. The Climate tools this year were out in the marketplace in two forms. One was Climate Basic, a free offering that was on over 50 million acres, 50 million acres worth of corn and soybean. Growers signed up for this. It provided information on weather, what we called field workability, which was basically recommendations as to whether or not you could get out and do operations in a field, mostly weather-based, and then some alerts and some scouting information. Some pretty basic but very informative, I think, and useful tools. In addition, we had a suite of offerings called Climate Pro that were of the nature of these specific recommendations, like I showed you for the Nitrogen Advisor. These are paid offerings, they're subscription services, and we'll have versions of these out in the field as well next year. So I think with that, let me just end with this slide to summarize. Really, we see this combination of measurements, models, and execution working together as being where we're moving in Climate for precision agriculture. Thanks.
Genetics is
yeah. It's a great question.
And better fertility, and so data is going to keep us going. But what part of that will be data? Do you have a big sky kind of
It is. It's a great question. I don't think I've ever thought of it that way. But I don't think it's unrealistic to expect that better management overall, that will probably in the future come from this kind of data science and data analysis, might account for 20% or maybe even 25% of future productivity increases. And maybe as importantly, I think for issues like sustainability, might play an even larger role in terms of being able to optimize practices.